Joining me on the line from, I believe, Illinois Wesleyan University. Is that where we're calling? In his office at Illinois Wesleyan University, the mayor of Bloomington. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Terry Renner. I'm surprised you aren't following the women's softball team down to down south there for the national championship tournament.
I wish I had time. These days, I'm just trying to keep my head above water.
Oh, man.
And bopping back and forth between Illinois Wesleyan and City Hall. One of the earlier this week, I wound up going back five times amidst other things.
So oh, really?
Unfortunately, I don't have too much time for that.
You log all the miles, though? Because I understand the IRS lets you deduct mileage from going from one job to the other. Did you know that?
Yes, yeah. And actually, even in terms of events. Now, actually, some situations, if you're provided mileage, like city managers are usually provided mileage, or if you're given a car, like I believe Chris Coos has a car in Normal.
Oh, really?
You know, you can't, not him per se, but he's able to use an electric car, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather walk.
But we do not have anything like that. The mayor's salary is only about the equivalent of an auto allowance for most city managers.
Stop it now. Stop it. People are going to say, hey, then don't run for re-election. And by the way, are we...
It's exactly right. You don't do it for the money, obviously.
Are
you're
we...
trying to make your community a better place.
Are we to the point now where you're soon to announce another run?
Well, the election, it's an odd cycle here in Illinois because it's in an odd year, but it's in most states, they have it's in an odd year for local elections, but it's in November. In Illinois, it's in an odd, odd year, and it's April.
Spring, yeah.
So the time where we go out and get petitions for mayor and city council is this fall, and that's as people are going to be focusing in on the national elections because the filing deadline is November. So bottom line is it's probably sometime around Labor Day I'll probably make a formal announcement.
All right. And what will that be? Trying to get that out of you. And what would that be? All right,
well, I'm leaning toward running, but I have to, we got to figure out how far along we've come and what needs to happen. And if I were to run and were to be honored to have a second term, what would that accomplish? I think I know, but I want to make clear that that's the case.
Let me be the first to know, will you?
Okay.
Don't be announcing it on the Twitter or the Facebook or the Snapchat or the
I think we do like I did last time. I would have a press conference, even when I announced actually both previous times that I ran in 2009 and in 2013. I announced the year before.
Hey, you want to do a little good news segment here? You saw the piece from the American Institute for Economic Research?
Yes. Oh, Well, actually, we got two. We got a mention from them. We were one of the top 10, actually number 3, best metro area for finding a job after college.
Yes.
And the Huffington Post listed us as one of the top 11.
Yeah, number 11.
In the entire country.
Thank God they didn't do a top 10 list. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have been talking about it, number 11. You know what I'm saying? They went to 11, though. Well, let's talk about
it. We've got so many good things in Bloomington. And these national ranking groups, we're consistently on the high end of things. And sometimes in the top 10. Best place for working retirement, top 10. Best place for singles at the other end of the economy. We got last year, just the end of last year, Google went across the 50 states and said basically they identified and analyzed the 50 state capitals, not political capitals, but 50 state digital capitals who are on the cutting edge of internet commerce and e-commerce. And we were the digital capital of Illinois. So, Bloomington has so many great attributes. I'm glad that national groups are finally recognizing that Bloomington is the center of the known universe.
Well, and they went to press before. They went to press too early, or they would have mentioned that we're going to get a Portillo's here, too. It said, here, let me read it. Bloomington is the hub of activity surrounded by all sides of rolling green farmland. It ranks among the top of smallest cities in arts and entertainment with venues like the Castle Theater and the County Link Amphitheater, and the number of art studios, the home of Illinois State University, also holds economic appeal to young professionals with the second lowest rents as well as relatively high earnings. And they talk about the rent. We're the second lowest rents, which leads me to believe that I don't even know what rent is going for because I pay a mortgage. I don't know. Back in the day, I thought rent was very high. when I was paying $500 a month for a pretty nice place. What is it going for now? A nice, Laura, you were out in it for a while.
It depends on where. You know, we have actually in downtown, people don't realize how many, actually there are lots of loft apartments in downtown. Joe and Ruth Haney have developed some. Bobby Veracella, Fred Wohlrab have developed some. When you're inside them, you'd think you were in Manhattan.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I knew. You remember guys we worked with had a place downtown. Eric Stock lived down there for a while. Very nice places. So
there are cheaper ones, but those are at the high end.
Yeah.
Somewhere around $1,600 a month.
Oh my!
And they are. Now, of course, that's the high end, but they are rented before they're completed. There's a long list there. I think at the at least premium apartments downtown, I think efficiencies, one bedrooms are $600 or $700 a month. I think those are rough estimates.
Wow.
Depends on where you live.
All right. Well, I don't find that very cheap. But out of the top 10 smallest metros, we were only bested by Iowa City, Iowa. And Lawrence, Kansas, both big university towns. Then you had Bloomington, Illinois at number 3, Champaign-Urbana at 4, and then College Station, Texas, Columbia, Missouri, and Burlington, Vermont, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Ithaca, New York, and then Bloomington, Indiana, the other Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm glad we were ahead of the other Bloomington.
Do you use that? Does anybody, economic development council, anybody stuff in marketing the town?
Oh, absolutely. The EDC, our economic development coordinator, when I talk to people throughout the state or throughout, sometimes we've gone like Chris Coos and I went to at Los Angeles a couple of years ago to try to get people to move to, move their headquarters or move some of their operations to Bloomington Normal. We were touting the advantages. But absolutely, when those kinds of things happen, we try to milk them for all they're worth and more. Because that's one, of course, of the critical things is being a booster for your city and making sure that you achieve the greatest economic potential and growth that you possibly can. We've got all – some of what we're also trying to do is obviously move on not just Dick's and Kroger and downtown and Greentop, but we want to use and leverage that to for people to say, hey, Bloomington is on the move, and there's – definitely when I talked to Brad Cole from the Illinois Municipal League a few weeks back about another subject, he said, the word on the street is, wow, Bloomington may not have done anything for several, a couple decades, maybe a decade and a half in terms of development, in terms of their economic development. But now the action isn't just in Normal. It's now in Bloomington.
The American Institute for Economic Research, where the best job destinations for college grads, and they mentioned Bloomington. They talk about it. Cities, no matter what their size, with a vibrant, young, well-educated population, attract other young, well-educated grads. Terry, what do you do? And maybe this is a question. Well, it's not a question for the Economic Development Council. What do you do to keep the graduates in town and being lured away?
That is absolutely the dilemma. And then one of the things, obviously, we want to be sure that we are a safe community, great educational institutions. The fundamentals we have the lowest crime rate of them, usually. Sometimes that bounces around a little, but we're usually at the bottom or near the bottom in crime rate, great public school systems, great, parks, amenities. And now we're making certainly the transition toward a multimodal transportation system, and that is the future of the 21st century. I'm a automobile addict. I'm a baby boomer. That's not the case with the millennials in the future. So we want to make sure that we have adequate design for pedestrians, bikes, as well as cars, as well as mass transit. And so we have an award-winning mass transit system here too. We got Andrew Johnson and Connect Transit got a national award for being the top small metro mass transit system. So we're also looking to revitalize our downtown. Our downtown has got lots of good bones. If you saw what happened in Normal, 10 years ago, there were vacant lots, abandoned buildings, and an EPA Superfund waste site. Now it's a destination, an engine of economic growth for the community. We're doing that in downtown Bloomington, and especially if we get this next investment in the $53 million conference center, parking garage, hotel adjacent to the Coliseum. We'll get more events in the Coliseum, reduce the red ink in the operating of the Coliseum, as well as create more of a destination. There are already investors that are beginning to eye areas around the Coliseum who, if this is finally approved sometime in the next month or a couple months, they want to move in downtown 2.0, the next wave,
right.
Hey, the warehouse district,
you
and
brought,
other places.
You brought up the Coliseum the other night at the city council meeting. We were introduced to the new general manager of the Coliseum, and you made a reference, a veiled reference to the old Coliseum administration, that there was going to be communication between the city and the management there at the Coliseum, and if you had a question as to anything to do with the operations, you were going to get an answer immediately. And then I think you said something like, unlike the last group that had it. Can you talk about the problems you had with the last group now? Because you kind of opened it up at the city council meeting.
We knew that there were communication issues. At this point, we're moving forward, but let's suffice to say that I don't think that there was anything necessarily nefarious going on, but they held their cards so close to their chest that you couldn't pry them loose. And it's just the ultimate breath of fresh air with VenueWorks. They give you everything. They're going to have information within 48 hours, be posted online from each event, the net income, how much happened. The previous managers of the Coliseum never even wanted to make any of that public. Well, so we are moving forward. I don't want to dwell on the past, but this is an unbelievable change. I'm very impressed with them. They had some problems with some of the lines a couple weeks ago, but for concessions, they have fixed that, and they don't deny that there's a problem. They get an answer to you immediately. The a new gentleman came to my mayor's open house last Friday. I mean, they are clearly open, transparent. They get it. It's very much a breath of fresh air.
So give me in 48 hours of the Boston concert last night, within 48 hours, I will know how much the Coliseum made on that event. Will I know how much they paid to bring the band in?
I believe you'll have all of that information online.
Will I know how much the bass player?
I don't have the information in front of me, but they showed exactly what they would tell you, how much came in from the concessions, how much came in at the ticket box, and what the net either profit or loss was from each event. We couldn't even get that. People filed Freedom of Information Act requests legitimately wanting to find out what was going on, and it was really hard to get that information. Now this is definitely part of our new open and transparency. You know, I can do something for the city to be open and transparent. But when you had the private company absent going to court, I couldn't, I can't just get them to release information, and I can't make it public if I don't have it.
All right. I was kidding around. I was wondering if I could find out how much the bass player made. When Rod Stewart is in town, I wondered, how much is that harp player getting tonight?
Yeah,
I play the harp for a couple of songs.
Were you at the Rod Stewart concert?
I was at the Rod Stewart. Yeah. It was a great show.
I was there, too. It's really kind of interesting to see a 70-year-old guy bouncing around on the stage.
Yeah, I know it. And
especially singing, Do You Think I'm Sexy? There was some sort of comedy to that, I have to say.
But those guys in Boston have got to be close to that, right? They've got Tom Scholz has to be 60. Well, they're celebrating their 40th anniversary?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they've got to be in their 60s easily.
Yeah.
All right, Mayor. Good talk. Oh, hey. It's 24 after. Do I have? I just wanted you to put your political science hat on for a second.
Sure.
All right. I can't for the life of me figure this out. I talked to Dan Brady off the air about it. I talked to Pat Brady on the air about it. I talked to LaHood about the Republicans still living in the 1970s with this whole gay marriage thing. They had their convention in Peoria. And they just won't let it go. They just won't let it go. And I said to Dan Brady off the air today, do you like losing? Do you like losing? Because it's things like that, you're never going to get a seat above I-80 in the House or the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy? Why are we even talking about this in 2016?
Well, I think that's a really good question. There has been a major sea change in public attitudes like I have never seen. Well, not I, the political scientist. We've never seen a dramatic change on an issue within such a short period of time. Well, in this case, I mean over the last decade, a little over a decade, than on gay marriage. And people have moved on, mostly. But at the end of the day, we know how, especially now that the Supreme Court has ruled, we know how this all ends. Right.
Yes.
regardless of your opinion on it, it's accepted. And as one of my, in fact, I'm teaching a class I'm teaching this semester, one of the students had to wrestle with that very question. And one of them said, well, if you don't like it, just don't go to the wedding. And at the end of the day, we know that that position is going to prevail and mostly has prevailed. And so I would certainly politically, I would advise as much as possible. If you're dealing with a non-issue that, in a sense, you've now lost, it's not a bad idea to move on.
Just let it go.
Right. But the difficulty is just, I mean, both parties. Oh. So, I mean, let's make this real clear. Democrats have a very strong, ardent liberal wing. The Republicans have a very strong, ardent conservative wing. And especially the social conservatives, which you might call the, some people call Ted Cruz wing of the Republican
right.
Party, whatever, are, you know, many of them just do not want to compromise or what they might say is give in on this issue. And I think that's what's hurting
them. But politically,
the Democrats in the 70s and 80s had the McGovern and, you know, wing, Ted Kennedy wing of the Democratic Party, which, you know, made similar kinds of insistence on the Democrats, and they lost a string of elections, and they regrouped under Clinton.
How would it have hurt them politically if they were to just say, you know what, we don't agree with this, but the courts have pretty much spoken. It's a dead issue to us now. How would that have hurt the Republican Party?
I don't think it would hurt the Republican Party. It might hurt specific Republicans within their party
right.
primaries. And that's one of the difficulties. When I was, you know, when you're in Washington, I was in fact last time I was in Washington twice this year, once for One Voice, one for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. The you know, I met with Adam Kinzinger and you know, actually no, it wasn't Aaron Schock. Sorry, Aaron Schock was last year. LaHood and others. We ran into McCain at the airport, you know, talking about Trump and other issues, and said, you know, one of the problems these days is that people on both sides of the aisle are afraid of losing in primaries.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats are veering to the left, the Republicans are veering to the right, and they're all upset because they can't talk to each other. And that's a problem. And it's a very serious problem. You know, frankly, at the local level, that's one of the good things about being mayor. When you, I go to the mayors, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, these are metro mayors throughout the country, and they're in the business of making things happen. They can't blither on like people in Washington or Springfield. You got to make stuff happen. If you blither on, the problem gets worse, and you got a bigger mess to clean up. And so at the local level, it's interesting. You wouldn't know whether somebody was a Democratic or Republican mayor or a Green or whatever in between, because you all face the same things, and you're interested in solutions, not empty rhetoric and, frankly, BS.
And all right.
I like being where I am. You can make a difference in people's lives in your community when you're a mayor, and you don't have to – it's not as much the partisan nastiness.
Hey, you're blithering on, and I got to go.
Okay, all right.
Hey, good talking to you.
I'll smack myself for you.
We'll do it in a couple of weeks.
Did you hear the smack in the cheek? I smacked myself.
All right, thanks.